I appreciate the elders for inviting me to be here. It's over the years that I can't remember the first time. It was back when Bill, my brother, was preaching here. And I don't even think we lived in Oregon at the time. I can't remember where it was, but anyway, we were here and visited with him and got acquainted with the church here for the first time. And then finally, when we moved up here and we're in Salem, Oregon, maybe even when we were up in Renton, Oregon, it seemed like I came down. So it's been over the years, just off and on, that we've come here. And so we've got it acquainted with you, recognized faces and so forth. But like I say, one time I asked for a directory and somebody told me they just don't want their phone numbers to get out all over the place. So I never got a directory. And now I talked to, the one that's going to do your directory. And he said he would send me a directory if it's all right with the elders. Uh-oh, I'm not sure. Uh-oh. With your pictures on it and your names and all that sort of thing. Anyway, then I could look at it and put your name with the picture. But a lot of you, I do. But over the years, you just, you know, when you're away and 6 months away, oh, I know their name, and I just forget. But I can still remember Mary's name. That keeps me going. And if I can't remember it, a lot of time, she can. So that's a good thing about that. And with Larry, it seemed like we moved to Kirkland in 1970 or something like that. So I'm beginning to put it together. I think it was when we were in Renton. I was preaching in Renton that I'd go down there once in a while. And that's when I met you. And I don't know that we ever sat in any classes together, but I listened to some tapes and I'd hear Larry asking a question. And man, that's a good question. Wow. And Lowell was, but he would get it answered. And that was a fantastic program they had. I only stayed 2 years. I really always say I should have stayed longer. It was a fantastic program and wish churches all over the United States would have a program like that. I didn't have the finances to go to Florida College. And I went one semester and Dad said, you're going to have to come home. I was the third son in a row. And Bill got to go for the full 2 years. And Albert, and because I went, Albert didn't get the last semester. He had gone 2 years. But it was just, it was expensive and so forth. But then Putterball told me about Kirkland. And I was preaching at a place that had been preaching for 2 weeks, that I'll preach for you, and been preaching there for 2 weeks and heard about it. And one lady said, you know, I don't know, you don't want to go there. She had actually been there and sat in those classes. She said, you know what, they lecture, they give tests, they ask questions. And I said, wow, I need to go. And so we went up there, and it was a fantastic experience. And over the years, I picked up some more classes because Larry, would send me some tapes, or when they old tapes, reel-to-reel. I still have a reel-to-reel tape recorder and some reel-to-reels, and I have to put all kinds of things underneath the tape to make it, because it screeches and squeals, and I took it in and had it fixed, but it's all goofed up. And so I need to finally get rid of all those tapes. And then he came up with that external hard drive. So I wish I had that way back there, then I wouldn't have built up all that stuff. But now I get to get rid of all those tapes, sell that big old tape recorder. Somebody said there were something. Maybe so. But anyway, I got a lot of other classes that were just great to have through the prophets and things like that I wouldn't have otherwise had. So I appreciate him, and he has done, you got a great man here doing the teaching and the preaching in every way. Donna helped me work on my teeth one time. Oh, man, she knows what's going on inside there. That's very embarrassing. Okay. This morning we're going to be talking about prayer. Did I need to just start it in here? And I have there the proverb that says the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. And that is the case. And so we will be talking about, as we try to serve the Lord, the importance of prayer in our life. If we're not living our lives as we ought to, if a wicked person prays to God and says, I want to turn from my sin, I think God hears those prayers. But if a person is stubborn and just wants to go his own way, God does not hear those prayers. And to think about the difference between somebody who does not serve God and never can pray and never ask God for help, the kind of help sometimes that he doesn't even need, and so forth. And he goes through his whole life. And I wonder sometimes what would hell be like, you know, where you're separated from God eternally. I don't know. The Bible uses terminology to express that, but I don't even want to think about what it would be like to live a life without God in it at all. So we're so such a wonderful blessing that we have, that we can pray to God in all times, and God will hear our prayers. And so what we want to talk about this morning, as we talk about prayer, you read from Ephesians 6, and we'll be coming back to that, where the Apostle Paul talks about prayer with all prayer. And what he's doing is he's talking about prayer as he follows talking about the Christian armor. And so here's the checklist. It's not exactly in order that it should be. Starts out with the belt of truth, and I'm moving from the second one down, then up to the breastplate of righteousness, and then feet prepared with the gospel of peace, and then take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so the armor that we are to wear, and he's talking about military terms as the Roman soldiers, as you know, were trained. They were skilled. They had armor that was the best armor that you could possibly have in those days. They were trained as to how to use that armor. They were very skilled people. But as we know today, we could have the best armor, the best trained people and all that sort of thing. But if you don't have a communication system, if a submarine was out underneath the ocean and moving through, and they have a fantastic submarines today. I've heard some things about it, can't remember all. But just all the electronics and the new computer stuff and everything is just fantastic. But let's say they lost all that communication down there. Or somebody in the skies and whatever they're doing, they lost communication with headquarters or with those that they need to talk to about what's going on and give them the information they need. We know what would happen. In spite of all that great armor, the checklist that we could have here that they wear, that they have, as well trained as they could possibly be, if they can't communicate, they're going to lose the war. They're going to be destroyed. So it's interesting that it ends with that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we depend upon the Word of God. That's the greatest thing in terms of we go out and fight that battle. Then in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, watching thereunto, and all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Then he talks about how he wants them to pray for him. So we need to add to that checklist. Is it a part of the armor? I think it is in this sense. It connects with that. Without this communication, with all prayer, without that, that armor is not going to bring us to the victory that we need to have. So check. We need to add that to it and add it then too. God speaks to us, and he doesn't do it, you know, miraculously today. I don't hear him. Some people say they do, but we won't go there, but that's not the case. But we do hear from God. Today I don't hear God's voice, but I'm trying to think, what would God say? What would God say? And my mind has to run, and your mind has to run through the Scriptures of what you know. And the more you study the Scriptures, the more you can connect with God in what God would be saying to you or to me. And so God communicates to us, and what we want to do, definitely then do, as we learn from that Word and God speaks to us, then we speak back to him. And that process, then we can be the victorious soldiers that Paul is talking about here. So we want to talk about the importance of prayer. And that's kind of summarized in the Ephesian letter, really the whole Ephesian letter, with all fours of prayer that we have in this text here. There's four of those. So we join those together and talk about then why is it that we pray. Now, some weeks ago, or longer than that, but I did a sermon in Dallas on why we sing. And so I thought, well, I got to preach this last night. Oh, why do we pray? Well, let me go look back and look at all the points, change it some. But the points that we could use of why we sing, we would make a point, and then we would sing some songs related to that. Then we'd make another point, sing some songs related to that. But those same basic points are the points that we would say, why do we pray? But we look at it perhaps just a little bit differently than when I was talking about there. But we pray. Everybody see that all right? The colors change a little. Larry did a lot of work up here just to get my old, I'm on older programs and so forth, to get them work here on this thing. But the reason, the first reason that we want to talk about is why we pray is because we praise God. And add to that, a man who knows God is going to be a man who prays. The better that we know God is the more we're going to be filled up with praying to God and praising Him. Now, if somebody doesn't know the Scriptures very well, or they just, I'm a Christian, but it's just kind of secondary thing in their life, and they're really not serious about it, they're not going to be found praying. I just imagine you can find some people today who say, oh, I'm a Christian, and, well, how much did you pray this week? Well, until we got here Sunday and had our service, I guess I really haven't. How much were you on your cell phone? How much were you on your computer? How much were you on Facebook, you know, and your emails, and maybe computer game? All, you know, you can get on a computer game and just, you know, all of a sudden an hour is gone. You didn't intend to spend that much time. And people wind up spending time, and they just get so connected with it that they can't leave it alone. Their life is filled up with it. Where is the prayer? It's not there. And so it's taken so much away for us to be concentrating on other things. We ought to be spending a lot of time in study the Word of God. God, you speak to me, and then turn around. And every time we study, that's the neat thing about it, as we said in our class period earlier, is when you study the Word of God, you're going to wind up praying. My wife, every morning, sits down, she's reading through the Bible. And when she's doing that, she's, you know, and I'll get up, and I come in, and she says, look at this passage right here. And one passage after another, she goes, God, that's such a fantastic passage, and so forth. I know she's sitting there, and she's reading, and she's meditating. And so when we do that, we praise God because of the things that we learn. And so that's what Paul does. In Ephesians 1, when he starts right off, blessed be the God and Father, verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. It's talking about the salvation we have. Having foreordained us to adoption as sons. It's a great, my kids, Gary and Chantel, have adopted a child. It's such a great thing. What she was going through before she finally went into foster care, and then she really needed to be adopted. And they adopted this child. What a, you know, she doesn't know it so much now, but she will know it as the older she gets. What a fantastic thing that somebody adopted her. God adopted all of us. We are His sons. It's almost unimaginable thinking about where we were and God brought us in. I mean, could we praise? Yes, we'd want to praise God about that. So we read on here, having foreordained us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And so he does that here. He also does that in chapter 3, if you want to take time to look at that. But he says, for this cause I bow my knee. When he finished up talking about the theological, as we say, the doctrinal part of this book, and as he discussed all this and how wonderful what God did, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with his power through the inward man. God's power is in us. If we feel truly the power of God in us, there is no way in the world, there is no way in the world that we cannot take time and sit and stop and pray to God. I don't care if you're 10 years old, or you're 16 years old, or you're 20, or you're 70, or you're 80, that's the way you're going to feel. If you know God and you're thankful to Him, you will praise God. Secondly, we pray as a result of a godly life. One who experiences God's grace. Because God's unmerited favor, because God forgave us of our sins, because God directs us, all right, you've been going the wrong way all over the place. Now let me get you on a straight road and get you walking down that road. When we get off of it and things get fouled up, God will get us back on that road. And so God, because of the grace of God, we are able to do that. And we change our lives over the years until yeah, I'm the same guy, but no, really, and spiritually, I definitely am not the same guy. and it's so wonderful that I am. And so if we're walking and experiencing the grace of God in our life and feeling and recognizing the change that it has made in our life so that we can walk, we're going to talk to God if we're going to be walking with God. If we're not walking with God, you're going to find people don't talk to God. That's just the way it's going to be. So if you say, you know, I haven't prayed to God all week long, really something's wrong with the walk. There's things, maybe you didn't go out and do any careful, you didn't rob any banks, you didn't slug the guy that, you know, got out and he passed you and put on his brakes, and so you got to the pool or you went out. You didn't do anything bad like that, maybe a lot of bad things. You didn't lie. But maybe you're just not thinking about God and not thinking about spiritual things, not even thinking about, hey, I need to keep on influencing people, and that's what we're all here for. And in all the ways that we do, how we treat our kids, how we treat, and when we go there, we say, well, isn't that the book of Ephesians? Yes. You go into chapter 2, and you to be made alive when you're dead through your trespasses and sin. And he starts talking about the fact that we were in disobedience, but now we're in disobedience. Down in verse 6, he raised us up with him, made us to sit with him in the heavenly places, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And so he's talking about all those things. And so he's looking at how we have changed. And then we come to chapter 4, which we say, we're out of the doctrinal part, and now we're into the practical part. And then he says, verse 1 of chapter 4, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling. Wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And so he goes on, and we don't have time to go through all that. You can read it any time, and you have many times. But he then begins to talk about the unity that we are to have as brethren. Yeah. If we, and some people in the church don't know how to get along. I mean, they, every time something goes on, the church, people are leaving. People are mad. Maybe they come and worship together, but boy, I don't want to sit close to him anymore. And, you know, it's just not the Christian law. But when you get a group of people that, man, they can get along. When problems come up, they can talk about it, they can work it out, and you've got a unified group. It's the most wonderful. It's a family. Yes, it's a spiritual family. And it's the same wonderful feeling it is in a physical family. So he's talking about the unity that we have. That's the conduct. If we can't have that kind of conduct, that's a part of our life, that's the result of a godly life, we're going to be, that's why we pray. It's the result of a godly life. As we move on, you know, in the rest of the chapter 4, at the end of it there, well, actually verse 17 following, he talks about how they've changed, but we'll move on down to verse 25. Wherefore, putting away falsehood, speaking truth each one with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. And so he goes on down talking about the things that we're to get out of our lives. We move into chapter 5. Be therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for you. And then he moves to, but fornication and all uncleanness. So all the kind of things that really should not be a part of your life. If anything, you need to reprove those things, but never let them to be a part of your life. And so that's godly living. And when people change their lives, they leave fornication, they leave that kind of stuff that they used to do illicitly and so forth, and because God talked to them, you're going to find somebody coming out of that kind of life that's now living the kind of life with purity that they ought to, and says, oh, that's so wonderful. And he will pray to God about that. Anybody walking with God is going to pray. He goes on down talking about verse 15, look therefore carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so walk, don't be drunken anymore, but speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Get involved in that kind of worship. When we come together, we sing, speak one to another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And man, if we walked out of here and never said prayer, it wouldn't be right. It just doesn't fit. So we live a godly life. That's why we sing the songs that we do. Because we live a godly life, that's why we pray together. And we pray it in unity together, which is a fantastic thing. Then he goes on down to husband loves your wives. Wives, be subject to your husband. Basically, wives, you love your husband, and husbands, you love your wives, and you have so many classes and teaching on that. And when you work that out together, if you have a godly life, you pray together as husband and wife. Your kids, down in verse chapter 6, he talked about the children and how they are to submit themselves to their parents, and vice versa, the parent, the father is not to provoke the children. So that's all godly living. He talks about it. And so that's all the way through the book of Ephesians, is because we live a godly life, then we are to, then we pray to God. Another is to give vent to our joy and thankfulness. We talked a great deal about this in the class. I won't really spend much time on this, just make some points. But one who counts his blessings. Again, we ask ourselves, let's see, how I didn't pray all week. Ah, God didn't bless me. You don't want to go there, do you? God blesses us every day, all the way through the all of the physical things. He'll bless us spiritually if we'll open up to Him and so forth. And so again, we pray to give vent to our joy and thankfulness. We thank God for the blessings that He's given to us. How could we go through a week and not pray? And as we sang this morning, how could you go through a day? How could you go through a morning, through an afternoon, and an evening? What was it, Psalms 119, I think, 164? Seven times a day do I praise Thee. I mean, it's just constant prayer. And then you begin to go through the Psalms. These are Psalms that David wrote. Do you think David said more prayers in his life than, yeah, David and others wrote? But yeah, so many, many, it was just filled up his life. And if you're like me, and I'm talking about it, I've been there. Oh, I'm studying so hard. I way back there when I'm trying to just understand things, get it together, and I'm going to preach a sermon. I wonder if a preacher's ever gone through a whole week and never prayed to God. Well, if I did, it was because I was thinking and trying to understand and grasp, and I might have said some things. But just to stop and pray, there was times I know that when I was younger, I went on and on and on. But I'm studying and I'm trying to get this right. I'm going to go out and teach a class and all this sort of thing. But are you praying? Are you talking to God? So how would parents feel if, you know, the kid, you raise him up, you do all these good things for him, and then the kid, you know, grows up, he's a teenager, he's out here, he's out there, and he comes into the door, and he's out again, and he comes in, hey, Dad, and he's out again, and you go through, and they never talk to you. You get in the car with them, and you start, oh, well, now we get some time to talk. And they got your little cell phone out in there, and you're trying to talk to them. What'd you say? How would that feel? What kind of relationship is that child? They don't realize it. But, you know, parent, oh, if I could just hear your voice. If I could just hear you sit down and talk to me and smile and communicate with me. That's what we've got to do. If we count our blessings, and I just mentioned it here, it's kind of a side point away, but it's just not a side point. It's what Paul said in Ephesians 3, 1 through 8, when he talked about God chose him. I'll just go to verse 8 there. Ephesians 3 and verse 8. Unto me who am left and least of all the saints was this grace given. He talked about the gospel. The gospel now is going to the Gentiles. They're going to have everything the Jews had. They're going to be a part of this. But he talks about God made me a minister of the gospel. I mean, he was so thankful for that. Unto me who am left, verse 8, and the least of all the saints was this grace given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, we know Paul, that he had been persecuting Christians, having them put to death and so forth. And so, as he talks about this over in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 12, I thank him that enabled me, even Christ Jesus our Lord, for that he counted me faithful, appointing me to his service, though I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Howbeit, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
albeit for this cause. I obtain mercy because I did it. That I obtain mercy, that in me as chief might Jesus Christ show forth all his long suffering for an example of them that should thereafter believe on him unto eternal life. We'll talk a little bit about Paul tonight too. But God chose him to go preach that gospel. How thankful he was. And when you think about it, he received the gospel. But what did he get to do? He got to go out and teach the Gentiles. Spread that gospel through the whole world. How thankful he was. I was injurious, persecutor, blasphemous, and all that stuff. And God saved me. And boy, he gave me the opportunity. Me, chiefest of all sinners. And so to go out and do such a wonderful thing. We all have things that we know that that would be in our life. Then to express our petitions. When we talk about this, one who knows he needs God. And so, and I may have not said that quite right, and so do others he cares for. I know that I need God. You know that you need God. And we also need to know that others need God. God knows we need him. God wants us to know that, and all others need him. So when we're praying, some people say, well, you know, they pray and they're praying about themselves all the time. Great. But not all the time. Because I need God, but if I am anywhere aware of what God did and what my purpose is as a child of God, is to go out and influence other people, help other people. And so if I know I need God and I know they need God, that's going to increase our prayer. If I pray about myself, okay, I get it all done. What if, well, somebody says, I think I heard Pete Wilson one time talk at a lesson. He said, well, I go to every congregation and people say, pray for me. So he jots their names down. How much time will it take? If he goes home, and then how many gospel meetings he had? I mean, he had to spend a whole lot of time praying about a lot of people that he knew, that they asked him to pray for. And that's the thing that we want to emphasize here. I'm going to keep an eye on the time there. With all prayer, proseke, that was in there, and supplication for all the saints. And that is, we are brought into community. There are some people, I know in California, go down to a place in Sacramento, and I think there's about 500 people in that congregation. And when I'm talking to people, there's a bunch of them. They've been there for years. They don't know. If I walk, who's that person there? I do that sometimes, don't I? Who's that? I don't know. How long have you been here? 20 years. Oh, well, it's tough when there's that many people. But if you cut down to 100 people or something like that, you know, we all not only know their names, know who they are, but if we're in communion with them in the unity of the church, if we're going to pray for them, it's important for us to kind of find out what they need. I pray for all the brethren and Eugene. Yes. And you folks who do that all the time. But then more specifically, you want to say, who particularly do I want to pray for? Who really needs my prayer? That gets you involved in more prayer because there's a lot more people. You're not just praying for the people sitting around your table at home, even. Your own family. You're praying for a more extensive than that. But to pray for them, you kind of have to know some things. So it's interesting here in Ephesians when Paul talks about this in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me. Now, he's been praying for the Ephesian brethren. He did it in all the epistles that he wrote. But then he would ask for them to pray for him. And he gave some specifics on it, some specifications. Now, there are times that something's going on in your life, well, I want people to pray for me, but I'd just really rather not be specific about what it is. And that's okay, that's fine. But other times, it's a good thing to say, here's what I want to pray. I want you to pray about, think about this. And then not only will bring prayers your way, it will bring Christians your way to help. Because they begin to, oh, you know, I think I could do this, and that would really help me out in this situation. And so expands your, not only your prayer, but expands your participation with other Christians that is so helpful. Can there be anything more godly than that? So it's just a wonderful thing. So Paul says, you pray for me. He says, and on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me, and opening my mouth
to make known with all boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in a chain, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so he said, here's what I want you. You know, he didn't say, tell them that you all pray for me, but I won't. But I'll get out of prison. He didn't do that. He never did. Kind of like in Acts 12, praying for people. Well, they want Peter out of prison. But going back to chapter 4, when they prayed, when they were put, when they're taken out by the Jewish rulers and so forth, they came back after they got out of prison. They didn't pray, Lord, please, never have us go back to the prison. Never allow anybody to put us to death. They didn't pray for that. They put it, the perspective in there. They prayed, give us always the courage. Whatever they do, you look at that, you deal with that. We got to deal with preaching the gospel. You give us courage to do that. And so when we're praying for one another, a lot of times it's not necessarily exactly what we're praying. But Lord, we pray they'll get out of jail. We pray they'll never go to jail. There may be a day we'll go to jail. There may be people. I mean, when somebody's fined, what was it, $135,000 for not making a game? Where can things go in the future? Should any sane people know, don't do that. Well, what if you're just trying to spread the gospel and you're in a school, as we said, and you're talking about God? You don't pray anymore. Well, if I was in school, I'd be praying. If they want to arrest me and put me in jail, that's where I'm going. And I won't say, Lord, pray, I'll never go to jail. I say, Lord, give me the courage to keep on praying, to keep on talking to people about the gospel, and doing it with the right attitude, with a loving attitude. That's what we pray for. And so, one who knows they need God, and they know others need God. So pray for all the saints. And there's so many things we could talk about that. So there's the supplication. That's a word that has to do with prayer. But then there's intercession. And that's the word entuxis. It's sometimes translated prayer, but it's talking about praying for other people. Take the time to do that as well. Hebrews 5:7 and 7:25. I'll just go to 7:25. Hebrews 5 is talking about Jesus probably praying in Gethsemane. But when Jesus, Hebrews 7:25, and it's also in Romans 8:34, that when Jesus raised from the dead, then Jesus raised in the clouds up into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. One of the most fantastic things that always that should hit our mind, and it didn't in days gone by when I was younger, that Jesus not only is out there, now he is the king over all kings, King of kings, Lord of lords. But I didn't concentrate much on what he's doing there to make intercession for us. He's doing that all the time, it says. He's making constant intercession for us. So then we shift back in our lives and think about various things that are going on. Oh, man, was I a mess? I wonder if Jesus cares about me. I'm not always behaving the way I should. I wasn't doing what I should. I had problems. And I could just say, hey, forget you. And no, Jesus was up there just like any parent would be, praying for me, making intercession for me, helping things to work out in my life. Well, finally, the things that I knew would come in perspective enough that I'd actually get my life changed like it should be. Isn't that wonderful? Today, every day, Jesus is the right hand of God, and he's praying for us like he would be for your children. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. So, he makes intercession for us. Let's get busy and be sure that we do that for ourselves. Well, how do we pray? And we're beginning to run out of time, so we'll be quick here. Praying at all seasons in the Spirit. When he said that, in the Spirit and so forth, at all seasons. First Thessalonians, you know, praying without ceasing. 2 Timothy 4:1-4, when it talks about that we're to preach the gospel, I charge you in the sight of God, Christ Jesus, and by his appearing, preach the word of God, be in season, out of season. I mean, do it all the time, never give it up. And that word season, we all know about that, don't we? Fall is going to come. I look out my backyard. Tree. The leaves are going to fall. There's all kinds of bushes and that stuff. Get the rake out there and get things out and not ruin anything. And it's going to take, probably the light, if I get it done just before Christmas.
but it's already starting to happen. Leaves are falling off. That's over during the season, right? Then when the summer comes, or the spring, oh, this is great, when the flowers start to grow, so do the weeds. You've got more work to do. I mean, like I said, every season there's work to do. And again, it's saying this is constant. In season, out of season.
Reprove, rebuke, exhort, you know, that sort of thing he's talking about. So, and do it in the Spirit. That means when we pray, we don't just, let's see.
I pick up some cliches, you know. And we just go through rote cliches, and we really don't mean much by it. I love it when somebody's leading even a public prayer. And it sounds like they're just, hey, that's not exactly the way everybody prays. That's the same prayer I heard him pray for you. And that's okay, and I know if our heart is in that, but sometimes it's focused a little more on our minds what it is that we want to pray. And our prayers can go everywhere in the appropriate way. In our lives, when things change, we pray for this today, we pray for that, we move away from that, because the seasons change, things that we change. And so just keep an eye on our focus on our life and the people that we need to help, and it's in season, out of season. There's something else in there, but I put Daniel up there because Daniel prayed. Lord, didn't Jeremiah say 70 years and we'd be, yeah. Well, he started praying. And lo and behold, chapter 23 says, Lord comes to him and says, Lord speaks, says, well, Daniel, as soon as you begin to pray, I sent forth the angel. His prayer is going to be answered. So sometimes it's answered right away. We may talk a little bit more about that tonight. And then watching in all perseverance. That is, when you watch, you're watching out. I was on the street just yesterday, and the guy had his two kids out there riding on the bicycles. Well, cars, so he was watching. But then I come up to get the mail. And when I get the mail, I studied with him. He's a preacher in town. And so he came over and we started, well, he wasn't looking at the kids. And I was talking to him. And lo and behold, here comes this pickup down the street and right heading toward where the kids were. And the youngest son, she saw that man. She fell off her bike and she didn't hurt herself. He had been fixed up to where no matter where they hit, they were going to be protected. But he just stopped for a moment not to watch. And that's the idea. We watch all of the time. Keep our eyes peeled and watch and pray in that way. With all perseverance. See if there's anything here that Hebrews 13 and verse 17 when Paul talks about the elders, and elders will understand that, you know, that they're trying to take care of things. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls. In Acts 6, they appointed the deacons, and your deacons are wonderful, because if elders are trying to watch for the souls and praying for all the souls, they have so many things. They're teaching some classes. They go out and do this and that and the other. Oh, they need help, because it is a constant thing. They're watching, looking, and so they need help. And so all of us, as we are watching and we are praying, we're also going to be participating. We wind up and we're involved in the whole process. An elder can't do all that, as dedicated as they are. A preacher can't do all the stuff sometimes that they try to do. All of us need to do it together. And that just needs to join in with the prayers that we have, and that will make it happen. Well, just in review here, why do we pray? Praise God. Result of a godly life. Give in to our joy. And express all our petitions. And when we know that all are in need, we make intercession. How do we pray? At all seasons in the Spirit, watching in all perseverance. There's so much about prayer. This is one of the tough things about, there is so much that can be said that you've heard many times and so forth. So what we've done this morning is just, I hope we've said enough to say, do we appreciate it? It brings our mind back to how important and how grateful prayer, or how wonderful prayer is for us. So stay in tune with yourselves. The idea. That's how you pray. Stay in tune with your brethren. Stay in tune with the matters of life. Understand what's going on. I know it's kind of
what's going on in the world, but kind of stay in tune with that, because that's going to be involved in the way you pray, and then stay in communication about it all with God. So that's the invitation song. There may be somebody here that's ready to obey the gospel, and if you are, you're going to know enough. And if you're moved to do so because you want to draw closer to God, get your sins forgiven, and get into a life where you now know you can communicate with God. If you're outside, you're not a Christian, you've heard about all that, and you just keep not doing that, you're not going to have a very good prayer life. You're going to know one, there's something more important I need to, if you're going to pray about it, you're going to wind up and do it. So it's probably time to do it. If you haven't, just know this, there's a God. And that God cares about you like nobody else that you know. And Jesus, who he sent his son, he gave him up. There's not anything that he won't do for us. He's going to work with you in your life all the way through your life and whatever. And if you haven't heard that gospel, it's a thrill to us preachers and elders and members to sit down and talk with somebody that's got his eyes wide open and say, oh yeah, I want to know about this. It's thrilling to us, and it will be thrilling to you. So that would be one thing we'd say. Come and ask somebody for a pass. If you're ready to obey the gospel, we'd encourage you to come.